Welcome to The Garden Angelist, where we talk about flowers, veggies, and all the best dirt. I'm Carol Michael from Indianapolis, Indiana.
And I'm Dee Nash from Guthrie, Oklahoma. Hey, Carol, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Happy New Decade.
Oh my gosh, it is a new decade. I should know that. Yeah, it is. That's awesome.
Well, it depends on who you ask. Some people think decades start in the year that ends in one, and some people think it starts in the year that ends in zero. We're going with the zero people.
I say zero. Yeah, definitely a new decade.
It's the 20s.
It's the 20s. I never thought about living in the 20s. That's crazy. Crazy, crazy. I love the quote that you picked out for today.
I will read the quote. Ready?
Okay.
Every time you tear a leaf off a calendar, you present a new place for new ideas and progress. By Charles Kettering.
That Charles Kettering, he was always kind of a positive guy, wasn't he?
Yes. I don't even know who he is, Dee. I'll just be honest. I don't know. I guess.
We've used him before in some other quotes that I just am going based on that. I'll be honest, I didn't look up Charles Kettering, but he seems like a positive guy to me.
And so now we got, not only did we tear a leaf off the calendar, we threw the old calendar out. We have a brand new calendar. So we got tons of new ideas.
I love that we have tons of new ideas because I can always use new ideas. Hey, I got a new calendar this year. Well, I got it at the end of last year, of course. And I actually went to Hallmark and bought some bows when I was wrapping Christmas presents, and they had a Marjolin Bastion calendar, and I bought it, a wall calendar. Do you still use a wall calendar?
I do, but, you know, I'm retired, Dee, so I just use the free ones that I get.
Oh, whatever.
You know, you feel like you got to economize because you're retired.
You can afford a dang calendar.
I can. Actually, I have on my desk the Botanical Interest seed catalog. Those people sent me a lovely desk calendar, so I have that turned to January.
I have that. I love that.
I have a Wild Birds Unlimited calendar with pretty bird pictures that I got from the Wild Bird store.
Nice. See, you're just making stuff up about free calendars, although the one from Botanical Interest was given to you.
Right. The Wild Bird one was given to me. I picked up a free one at church. And then I got a free community calendar sent. So I have four or five calendars. I don't know what to do with all of them.
Are you going to hang them all?
No.
I only hang the one left of my desk. Even though I really use my calendar on my phone all the time for regular stuff, I still like to look at a pretty picture. And on January, I'll take a picture of it and put it on our Instagram story. This one has a sweet little robin for January.
Oh, that's,
I love that.
That's nice. I'll admit that I can't put my hands on my Wild Bird calendar at the moment. I guess I haven't hung it up. But Botanical Interest has a lovely anniversary aster as the first picture on their calendar, a white aster.
A is for aster.
Exactly. So before we start plunging into the 20s,
yeah,
why don't we take a minute to look back at 2019? Because everybody else is.
Yeah. I did my best 9 pictures on Instagram and everyone else was too. And it's really fun to see what people connected with over the season. So you and I decided we would talk about our favorite flower moments in 2019.
Right. So you want to go first or you want me to go first?
I can go first. My favorite flower moment was when I sat down and watched my honeybees go to, they were flocking to, I guess that's kind of weird because honeybees don't really flock. Maybe they were buzzing to. They were flying over to Salvia nemorosa cardona, which was one of the flowers of 2019. And I love cardona and I love how blue it is. I love the flower spikes. I think they're beautiful. And even better, the honeybees like it. And the reason it was such a favorite flower moment for me, that's hard to say, is that when I was sitting there, I realized that it was just all a buzz with these honeybees. And so I took a moment from my work in the garden and sat down and just watched them. And did you know that within a hive, an individual hive, all the honeybees are different colors? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I think everybody thinks that they're all kind of the same color, or that certain breeds of honeybee, yes, there are breeds, certain breeds of honeybees are a particular color, and that is true, the second part. But when your queen goes off and mates, she mates with a bunch of drones. So she has a lot of biological material, a lot of DNA from the male bees, right? So all of your right. bees in your hive look, I mean, they look a lot different. So you'll have some that are a light golden color. You'll have some that are a darker brown. And when you sit there and look at them, you can see through their little honey tummies. So if you ever get close enough to a honeybee in a garden, which, by the way, they won't bother you in a garden, bees won't, you can look at them and you can see right through their little honey tummies. It's something to behold.
I'm going to have to probably look on my clover, because that's where honeybees mostly show up in the summertime. I'm going to have to get down on my stomach and look at them.
Or you could just go to Instagram, to Indigo Acres Apiary, I think that's her name, and she has the most beautiful pictures of her honeybees, and they're all different sizes. So, I mean, all different colors, all different types. Some are different sizes depending upon whether it's a male or a female. And you can see honeybees up close and personal, which is pretty cool.
I will do that, because that's probably going to be a lot easier than laying down in the grass.
I think the only reason I'm willing to lay down on the path and look at them for so long is that also I had out my big camera and I was taking pictures.
All right. So challenge on. You got some pictures of your bees. You need to post those too.
I do. I'll have to go back and look for them from last summer. So what was your favorite flower moment?
So my favorite flower moment was I was able to pick peonies in bud in May, in the middle of May, wrap them in Saran and put them in the back of the refrigerator, and then bring them out in early July where they opened up beautifully. And my sister, her son got married, and the bride's favorite flowers were peonies. And when we found that out, I said, well, we'll try this, and then maybe you'll have some peonies to put on the table for the rehearsal dinner. And so I was not sure if it was going to work, and it worked marvelously.
In fact, we talked about it on the podcast last summer when you did it, and we were both kind of amazed that it worked so well.
Oh, it worked great. And this fall, I dug up some roots of the peonies that I had used, and I took them over to the newlyweds' house, and they had a new garden bed that they had prepared, and I planted some peonies for them.
Because peonies, as everyone knows, are just the longest living flower. You can have them hundreds of years old, and people pass them down from family member to family member.
And in fact, these were a pass along that I had gotten from the ones my dad had, and I suspect he probably got them from his mother.
My first peonies were from my mother-in-law, my very first ones. And I am so glad I have them, because they just remind me of her whenever they open up. I still have them all these years later. And fall is a really good time to plant peonies, but you can also plant them in spring.
Right. And so we are going to get to resolutions. How can we not? We ought to make a resolution to share more of the flowers from our gardens with friends and family. Dig up pieces and let them have them.
I do that all the time, actually. I share a lot of my flowers with lots of friends and whichever family want them, because I think that pass-along flowers are some of the best, right?
They are some of the best, and they grow the best. You know the secret to getting a pass-along flower to grow?
Nope, I don't. What is it?
Never say thank you when you get one.
Oh, come on now.
No, you have to say, oh, this will be wonderful in my garden, or I really appreciate the beauty this is going to bring. But if you say thank you, the flower won't grow. It's just a thing.
You know, I've never found that to be true, Carol. Never. I've always thanked people for my flowers. And some of my best flowers are still out there. I can see them from my window.
I fear for you, Dee. Some calamity is going to overtake you. No.
Yeah,
I
whatever.
Just heard that somewhere. It's just kind of fun to know.
It is kind of fun to know that. You know what? The thought I had when you were sharing all of that, my grandchild is going to be born in February. In fact, just a few weeks. I think it's 6 weeks from today is her due date. And I'm thinking about all the fun I'm going to have with that little girl in my garden. and having her smell flowers. Oh, yeah. Woo!
So every month has a flower, and I know January is carnations because that's when my birthday is. Do you know what the flower is for February?
I don't. Oh, no. Do you?
Well, we're going to know. Why would I know that? I only know January because that's when
my
birthday is.
Why do you ask me these hard questions and stop me?
Well, you're going to have to look up flower for February.
I think for my birthday, it's asters.
Probably September. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
You're going to have to look that up. You're going to have to look that up. You're going to have to figure out February's flower. So you start looking that up. And I'm going to read the next quote before we move on to a retrospective of vegetables.
I already found it.
What is it?
It's the violet.
Oh, violets are my favorite.
I have a whole bunch of violets that are outside my little green she shed. So Madeline I'll remember that violets are her flower. Thank you for that, Carol.
You're welcome. So now we can move on to vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the quote. Gardening adds years to your life and life to your years. Unknown.
I know that to be true. Gardeners remain healthier than the average person who ages, along with people who run and stuff like that. But I think gardeners stay healthy in both their souls, their minds, and their bodies because, you know, the joy.
Exactly. I would agree with you. And they do studies, and many of them are anecdotal, but we're going to agree with them since we garden.
Yeah, because you know what? I'm sure runners have their own anecdotal stories, but I'm not going to become a runner. I'm a walker, but I am not a runner. So we're going to talk about favorite veggie moments from 2019. Since I went first last time, you go first.
Well, my favorite vegetable moment for 2019 is actually the same as it is every year. I'm very boring, I guess. But I always think about the first picking of a particular vegetable, like the first pea pod, the first green bean, of course, the first tomato. That's my favorite moment in a vegetable garden is when I get that first piece of fruit or vegetable out there.
What about the first time you eat lettuce? There's just something about it.
Oh, yeah. After the winter and everything. Oh, man. Yes, yeah. Indeed.
And then I'm guessing the worst moment for you is when you've got so many tomatoes, you don't know what to do with them all.
Yeah, that's pretty bad moment. When we get down to resolutions, I do resolve to do better because let's just face it, Dee, when it gets hot and there's so much out there to pick and you don't have any place to put it and the kitchen counter is full, it's sort of easy to say, well, I'll get that to tomorrow.
I give those away.
Or the next day.
Our canning friends would tell us to can them all. And as you know, I don't really like to can. I've done it and it's not my favorite thing. I liked it for tomatoes. I like to roast them in the oven with some olive oil and save them that way. And they are really, really good, especially on pizza and stuff. But yes, we'll talk more about resolutions in a little bit. I would have to agree with you on best vegetable moment. That first tomato, that first pepper, there's nothing like it. And the sweetness of homegrown vegetables is without compare. I mean, people who don't grow their own vegetables. I actually was in Tulsa a couple of days ago, and we went and stayed in this really nice hotel, and we had breakfast. And that in the hotel at a place called the Chalkboard, and the Chalkboard, they buy all of their stuff local. So they actually had local cherry tomatoes, which I assume since it was December were being grown in a greenhouse, and they had local spinach. And I had this thing called a hash fromage. So it was cheese hash. So instead of potatoes binding everything together, cheese did. And that was really delicious. And part of it was because everything was homegrown. But the stuff you can grow in the winter under greenhouse, you know, in a greenhouse under lights is still not as good as stuff that you grow in full sunshine outside or, you know, under tunnels or whatever. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree. There's nothing like the warmth of the summer sun. And I wouldn't discourage anybody who wants to have a little greenhouse or grow some stuff inside under lights.
No, I love my greenhouse.
But I agree with you. When it's out in the sun, it's really delicious.
It is delicious. And it's really fun to sow seeds in the fall and then harvest over the winter greens and stuff. But I really admire people who hydroponically grow tomatoes in the winter. That is some hard work. I also want to say that last summer, I really, really enjoyed growing habanada peppers. Those were those habanero peppers that didn't have any heat. They were fruity. And I actually, when I was thinking about this, I decided that this year they were very prolific. Like I couldn't eat them all. I gave them away. I did all kinds of things. But I think next year what I'm going to do is stuff them with cream cheese and something else and roast them in the oven a little bit. I think that would be really good.
Yeah, that would be good. In fact, that's kind of the only way I eat peppers is if they're cooked into something. I don't really care for raw peppers.
I don't mind them. I like them, but I don't want to eat just a, go out and eat a chunk of raw pepper. It's not my favorite thing, but I like them in salads and stuff.
Well, and in January and February, we're going to talk extensively about the vegetables that we like and try to convince people to try some of the new varieties and some of our old favorites.
So those were our favorite vegetable moments. What is our dirt? Our dirt is resolutions, right?
Right, because... Well, the overall resolution for anybody who doesn't garden, who is likely not listening to this podcast anyway, is life begins the day you start a garden, which is a Chinese proverb.
And that's our third quote. So that's true. We gardeners think that life does start the day you plant a garden. And a garden can be anything. It can be plants on a windowsill. It can be plants in your bathroom. It can be plants that are outside, inside. We are not picky about what the definition of garden is.
No. And in fact, I'm very excited because my sister in the condo has decided that she's going to go back to growing a few vegetables, probably in a raised bed that's similar to the one I bought that's on a stand. And then my nephew and his new bride also want to do some vegetable growing in some raised beds, also on a stand to keep it away from the dogs. So I got two more people.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Although my nephew said no tomatoes. He doesn't like them.
You know what? My son doesn't like tomatoes either, but I keep working on him because, I mean, they're really good. I think he doesn't like the texture.
I think so. I think my nephew's okay with sauces and things with tomatoes in them.
Yeah,
but to just eat a raw tomato, he doesn't like that.
Yeah, I would say Brennan's the exact same way. But I keep working on him. He does like a lot of other things in the garden, so that's good. So start with your first resolutions.
So my first resolution is to hire some help to take the garden up a notch.
Yeah, I did that last year. I hired a little bit of help because, I'll be honest, I just can't keep up with the acre and a half anymore of pure garden. So I have two ladies who come over and help me, and they are jewels. I am so grateful for them.
Well, I'm going to hire some guys to do some heavy lifting out in the garden, to do some edging of the beds, which is kind of hard work, and sort of fix some areas that I know need to be fixed, but I just kind of run out of time to do it at the end of the day.
Yeah, we've got to actually prop up a wall in my potager that is starting to go south, you know, because I live on a hill and it's just over time. Because we put that in 2009, I think. And that'd be 10, well, 11 years old now. And so my son's going to come over and help me restack that wall because that stuff's hard.
Oh, yeah, that's hard work. So I have another one, but you tell me yours before I go through my next one.
Okay, so my first one is that I'm going to start cutting back now on really nice days because we do have some nice days in Oklahoma in January and February. And that way I won't be so overwhelmed in spring. One of our friends, Fair Garden, she does that. In fact, she gardens throughout winter, and I admire that so much.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And if I hadn't paid these guys that I'm going to have come back in the spring, don't tell anybody, but I've already cut back a significant portion of the garden. So it's in pretty good shape for spring.
That's nice. I wouldn't say mine is. I need to cut back my grasses. And I need to start cutting back some of the perennials. There's some debate about whether you're supposed to do that or not because certain creatures, you know, little bugs, live in those live in those stems. And so some people think you shouldn't cut back at all until March, but I have to come back some of it. I can't do it all. And it's a really big garden. So I know that the bugs will be okay.
Yeah. And so mine's a really tiny garden. So if the bugs are relying on the perennials in my garden for their livelihood, they're in trouble already. So, but that's why I said, don't tell anybody that it's all cut back already, because I don't want people to know.
Oh, okay. Well,
so I blasted.
You did it too.
So I blasted on a podcast.
Okay. So another thing is I'm going to pull out some of my non-performing plants that I'm either tired of or, and in fact, I'm going to continue the annihilation of Rudbeckia goldsturm because there's just too much of it in my garden and it's taking over. And so, and I'm going to get it out of anywhere that's wet. And I'm going to try to plant some of the same type of plants, like more salvias, because they're very unifying. I'm trying to give it more of a unified look, but we'll see how much of that I get done.
Okay, so let me get this straight. So you have too much of the Rudbeckia, which would be unifying because you have a lot of it.
Right.
So you're going to cut out a bunch of that and then plant more of something else so that it will be unifying. I just wanted to make sure I understood.
Okay, so as soon as I said that out loud, I thought, oh, Carol's going to love this. Yes, because the Rudbeckia takes over everybody else. You know what I'm saying? It's
okay.
Like crowding everybody out. So I've got to get it to decrowd some. And so maybe in its place, I'll put more Shasta daisies because they like the same kind of conditions.
That's true. Could you take your Rudbeckia up to the high pasture that you're trying to establish?
I could.
Throw them up there.
Oh, honey.
Throw them up there.
I have so many. Many of them are going to go in the compost pile.
You know, I'd just throw them up there. And if they live, they live. If they don't, they don't. Give them a big heel wedge into the ground. Sink or swim.
Well, they won't sink because they're very much underground runner swimmers is what they are. But I don't want to talk about Rudbeckia anymore. It kills me.
All right. So here's my next resolution. And that, you know, okay. There are so many resolutions out there and they, you know, nobody's going to make a big change in a day. But I love the book Atomic Habits by James Clear because he talks about making like a 1% change, a 2% change, like 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day at a time.
Cool.
And I'll talk about one weed, one seed, one flower at a time. And so Atomic Habits is a really good book if you're struggling to change your habits or adopt a resolution and really keep it going. I recommend that book. Which has nothing to do with gardening.
I'm struggling to lose 10 pounds. So maybe I should read that book and lose 10 pounds by changing one habit at a time. I have started back walking. Maybe that'll help.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a great idea. I also want to enjoy my meadow in the upper pasture. The seeds have sprouted. I've noticed when I'm walking the perimeter of the property that I've got lots of little tiny plants. So I think it's going to be a success, which makes me very happy because it was some work.
Oh, that's good. And so I have to ask, Dee, in that wildflower mix of seeds, was there Rudbeckia in there?
Not Rudbeckia goldsturm. There was Rudbeckia herda.
Okay.
We've talked about this before. The fuzzy-leafed Rudbeckias, they don't take over. Rudbeckia goldsturm, which I can't remember the rest of its botanical name, but just goldsturm's all you need to know. It has underground runners. You're just hassling me about this Rudbeckia.
I am.
Gonna send some, I'm going to send some to you in the mail.
I've got plenty. Thanks anyway. mine's kind of, my little patch of it's getting less flowers because when I planted it, it wasn't in the shade, but as the trees are growing, it's starting to be in the shade. And so it's sort of scooching its way away from the tree and it's going to run right into some goldenrod. And I can't wait to see which one wins. Both are runners.
Oh, that'd be awesome. They're both runners. And so that'll be awesome. A duel to the death. Mine was fine until I put in irrigation. Because when I used to just do everything with soaker hoses, it was dry enough that the Rudbeckia never took hold. But now that I have real irrigation, it has slowly been marching across. And by the way, it's not a very good bee plant. Only thing I ever see on that Rudbeckia are skipper butterflies, which is fine.
Right.
I mean, fiery skippers need, you know, nectar too, but I'm trying to establish more short-tongued bee plants, which, by the way, I'm going to be talking about that soon at the flower show in Oklahoma, the Home and Garden Show.
So let's, for the listeners in Oklahoma or listeners anywhere who travel to Oklahoma, tell us about this show you're going to be talking at in January, later this month.
Yeah, it's January 17th through the 19th, and it's the Oklahoma, I think it's called the Oklahoma Home and Garden Show, and I'll be speaking 6 times, so 2 times each day. And I should have a schedule in just a few days. So I'll also be on TV, I think, to talk about it. So it's kind of a big thing, I guess.
It is kind of a big deal. All right.
Houseplants, cut flower gardens, those are 4 of the talks. And then I'm going to do a talk on pollinator gardens. And right now, I cannot for the life of me remember what my other talk's on.
Well, you'll figure it out. I have but one talk in January. I'm going to the Indiana Organic Gardeners Association meeting on January the 18th. I have all the information on my website, and I'll put a link to that on the show notes. But I'm going to talk about gardening tools beyond the hoe.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I wish I could come to that talk.
Well, I wish you could too. It has some funny parts in it.
Well, every time you talk has funny parts. You're funnier than me.
I don't know about that. But anyway, we both are busy, busy, busy.
We are. And so on our spare time, we're going to be working in our gardens throughout winter so that we're not so crazy in the spring. Do you believe that's going to happen?
Well, I believe that was your resolution, but I made no such commitment.
But it's been a really nice winter up where you live, hasn't it? Not too much snow and not too cold.
It's been a lovely winter, and much more of this loveliness, and I will be compelled to go outside and try to do something in the garden.
I did tell Bill yet when we were on our way home from Tulsa, I said, I wish it would snow just one time before winter's over so I can get some really good pictures of cardinals in the snow. He said he'd work on that.
We had a good snow a couple of weeks ago. It was all gone by Christmas. We've had warm weather. It's been delightful.
It's been warm here too. And in fact, I'll probably go out and walk right after we finish. Everybody, thank you so much for coming with us today on this first day of the year and chatting over the garden gate with us. You can find us on all of our social media platforms. I'm not going to run through them again, but we're the Garden Angelists everywhere. Please send us your questions at thegardenangelists@gmail.com, or we will catch you on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and occasionally on Pinterest.
Sounds good, Dee. Bye now.
Bye.